Como madre orgullosa, siempre quiero lo mejor para mi familia. Y los únicos huevos que compro son Eggland's Best. ¿Casualidad? ¡Para nada! No importa cómo los cocines, siempre están frescos y deliciosos. Además, tienen más vitaminas D y E y un 25% menos de grasas saturadas que los huevos comunes. ¿Por qué conformarse con menos cuando puedes tener lo mejor? Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para obtener más información.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the Fray on a Monday on The Usual Suspects. As always, we appreciate you finding us and allowing us to drive the bus through your workday. It's a Monday. If you missed any of the first 2 hours of the show because you are an unusual suspect and you thankfully don't think we're
not
on
the main.
Yeah, and you thankfully don't think we're on in the morning, you can go to ESPN975.com. You can click on the show tab. You can find the 2 hours that you missed, catch up on those, assuming that Trey or whoever is working
Juggalo Trey did not put Charlie Polillo's hour on our podcast.
That's offensive.
But yeah, I think it's good. I think it's fixed.
Which he did on Friday. So you can catch up on that. And while you're there on ESPN975.com, you can download the app. Take us anywhere, everywhere. Never miss a show. That's always great, fantastic, and otherwise. Wrapping up that Saints-Rams matchup, I did make mention of it, but Marcus Peters, Sean Payton, and had a little fun after the last time they played. Michael Thomas had his way. Payton had alluded to the fact that he was hoping Peters would be on him and they were going to exploit that matchup. And then, according to Peters, Payton, who's been a notorious crap talker, was talking a lot on the sidelines that game as well. Well, just to refresh your memory if you missed it, Marcus Peters was interviewed after the game, that game, and kind of indicated that he thought that the two teams might meet up again, and lo and behold, they're going to. Sound a little something like this.
On him, one
tell
on
Sean
one.
Payton, keep talking that shit. We going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines too. So tell him keep talking that shit, and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Well, the Cajun eats and treats his own, brother.
Don't think he minced any words there, did he?
Well, he's straight out of I think it's Compton. You know?
Oh, is he?
Yeah. And yeah. He's been like, there was a fan earlier in this year that was yelling down mess to him. And team security for the Rams had to go and like do the horse collar on him because he was heading up the aisle to go get the guy.
Yeah, he's from Oakland.
Oh, that's right. He and Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah,
that's why they're tight.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's no-nonsense kind of guy. Let's just put it that way.
I'm excited about these. Peters better hope Tlaib maybe is who they scheme to put on Thomas.
As much as Marcus Peters has been great, and he's a hell of a hitter.
Great last year.
Does a lot of things.
Yeah.
Man-to-man coverage on a top five wide receiver in this league. Not his specialty one-on-one.
Right.
Akeem Tlaib's the guy. He's going to get Thomas.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would think so. Yeah.
I would hope so because we won a good game.
Peters. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, if you thought he broke the record, Thomas broke the record last week with numbers, he's going to blow it through the roof if that happens.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right. So with that being said, we'll get a little more football in here. It looks like none other than Crystal Collins is calling in. Shocker.
What?
She wants to talk Cowboys.
What?
As the president of the Houston chapter of the Cowboys fan club. That's a shock. What's up, Crystal?
Hey, hopped up again at LAX with my dreams in a cardigan. Yeah, we didn't win, but it was cool.
But you went. The epitome of a loyal fan, she went to the game.
I've literally been to the last three games, and then this game in LA just kicked my butt, and we lost. So we lost. Done.
Well,
but the fans were amazing. So that bit you do, Barry, about the whole like Green Bay guy where he's like he's going to put his hand to his mouth and he slapped it. That was in New York 2 weeks ago. That's what I felt. But L.A. was there. The Rams fans were so amazing, and it was so good. So I'm home now. Hey, welcome to L.A.
Well, were they all there? I mean, the Rams don't draw.
We were freaking 70-30. Like, there were so many Cowboy fans there. It was so amazing.
That's what I thought.
Nick was saying that in pre-show. He was talking about the fact you could hear it over the PA.
Yeah, they literally said, whose house? And then you would hear the fan say, Rams house. And then the second and the third.
It was so good.
Yeah, the second and the third time, they just kept yelling Cowboys over the Rams fans.
We'll
and you couldn't hear.
Crystal, we'll have to cut you off after that one. yeah, someone tweeted even pregame when I guess they've got routines when the Cowboys come on and off the field and all that. Nick, to your point, that they had like legitimately Cowboys cheers, and it was like deafening.
That's crazy. Well, I mean, LA's kind of a fair weather city, and they've gone without football so long. You could see that it would make sense that maybe there are fans from teams around the country that end up in LA, and so it wouldn't shock me that there would be a big contingent of Cowboy fans living in LA. Not to mention the ones like the crazy fanatical fans like Crystal that would travel there for that as
That's
well.
That's pretty impressive to say 70, she's 30. Been to the last three Cowboys games, the last two regular season and this
no
playoff
doubt.
Game. That's dedication right there. That's
and she's
a
got
fan.
That dough. She's got that moolah.
Apparently she
she's
does.
She's like Barry. She's IT driven.
Well,
so
appreciate the call, Crystal. Yeah, for sure.
That's the other thing that's crazy though. Mm-hmm. You got a monster stadium at the Coliseum that they have a hard time filling. And then you get a soccer stadium that seats 22,000 that they don't have enough seats to try and fill with the Chargers, both in LA.
Right.
That's just it both ends of the spectrum.
Was it you that was saying Philly fans were acting? Oh, no, it was Clarence. When he was like, oh, yeah, Philly fans were great.
So no, at least he was giving Holly props.
Yeah, he was just complimenting the hot chick, is what he's doing.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
That's
back
exactly
to.
What he was doing.
Don't come to me with that Philly fans are great.
They're not.
They're not great. They're
horrible. One of the worst fan bases
How
in
long,
NFL. Without a doubt,
highlighted the whole 90-year-old woman getting beer cans thrown
Booed
at her.
A baby. They're horrible people. Nice try, Clarence. Holly may be a great Eagles fan, but in the grand scheme of things, I can't think of too many fan bases that would be worse.
Took Santa Claus out with snowballs. They had a courtroom in their old stadium at the Vet. So there's a reason for that.
Yeah, nice try, though, Clarence. We appreciate the humility, but not going to happen.
Now, I don't expect that the Superdome is going to be full of Rams fans this week, either, so you're not going to have to worry about that.
I don't think Rams fans travel well.
No, they don't even travel the road to get to their own stadium.
They don't drive to the stadium.
That's exactly what I mean, yeah.
I wonder if Rams fans in if there are a lot of Rams fans in St. Louis, similar to, here, there Oilers. Are Titan fans.
Yeah.
That when the Oilers left, Titan Hugo, good example. Yeah. When the Oilers left, they stayed Titans fans. They had a connection with Steve McNair and Eddie George and Jeff Fisher, and that carried over, and they stayed Titans fans, and maybe they've been Titan fans since then. I wonder if the same is true in LA, because it's a whole new Rams team. There's Sean McVay and Goff and all that. That's a whole new thing that they got going in LA. I wonder if that's the same, if it's the same is true for St. Louis.
It'd be interesting, because I think there's a lot of bitterness because the team left after they were the greatest show on turf. But you would think that there's still, especially if those impressionable years when the kids are growing up and all they got is Rams football in the wintertime, that it sticks with you.
Because they might be more willing to travel to New Orleans than
That's
a lot of
point.
Other places. It's not a terrible distance.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. Definitely.
I would be surprised to see 10% of the stadium Rams fans.
You guys good on the Rams uniforms this week? I loved them.
Lisa, I don't remember.
Lisa's from L.A.
They didn't really
and
stick
I've
out
made
to
up for. I've made fun of them in the past. Kinda, remember when they had the blue helmet with the white horn, but then everything else
pants.
Was yellow and it didn't match? When they went straight Eric Dickerson throwback,
I kind of dig
those,
it. I kind of dig it. When those were big, I didn't like them. But now I kind of dig those a little bit.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. When they were in St. Louis, they had the sparkly gold
I didn't
horns
like
on the helmet, which I wasn't a fan of either. No. But the Rams, to me, traditionally, would be that old school uniform they wore this last weekend, and those are good uniforms.
It worked well with all the towels, too, in the stadium, in the audience. Mm-hmm. Like in the crowd, you see all those towels. Even though, if there was 5 feet, there was a 5 feet gap between one yellow towel to the next. There was probably 27 Cowboys fans in between But still, that was a good idea.
I like the Saints have, it's good to see some of these teams upgrading their style and their uniforms, and here's our Texans.
Well, you don't like the Texans uniforms.
I don't. You know what I even noticed? How much more similar could the Texans try to be like the Patriots? Red, white, and blue. There's a star on the Patriots logo. There's a star in the Texans logo. Even the design is very similar in the way that it cuts down and moves to the left. And just in every way, shape, or form, I'm like, man, could let's just move away from this association.
It's kind of like when you know how
cities have sister cities?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that.
So it's also kind of like when you have a big Chinese center and suddenly you change your uniforms to look just like the Chinese national team. And now you don't have a big Chinese center anymore, and you might want to.
You know, it never really dawned on me until you just said it. It's like
they're never going to change.
Holy crap!
Never. Now
I do like the uniforms this year a little bit better with the red and the darker red trim.
Yeah, the alternate uniforms and the black uniform is great.
Don't mind that.
And I told you I want to see the ketchup and mustard logo on a black uniform with the ketchup and mustard and white trim.
That would be dope.
I would really love to see that.
That would be dope, for sure.
That would be cool. All right, we're in hour number three of the Big Show. Still plenty more to get to, but if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, well, feel free to chime in. 713-780-3776. HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back in the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday here at the Gow Media Studios. Covered a lot of ground today, covered some Rockets for you. All four of the divisional round playoff games have been discussed, and now it's on to the AFC-NFC championship games. Baseball news, in case you were wondering, the A's brought a contingent, met with Kyler Murray, hoping to sweeten the pot. Financially, they also had to get the permission of Major League Baseball to treat him as if he's going to be on the Major League roster right away. But they're saying that whether they admit it or not, no one's admitting it for sure. But they're saying that Kyler's camp has said $15 million guaranteed would be the pot sweetener that would keep him out of declaring for the NFL draft. Today is the deadline. He has to declare today if he's going to throw his name into the draft ring. So
would you? So yeah, he's got 72 hours to withdraw his name.
True. So once you have to declare by today.
And he and has.
Then you, and that he did. I didn't hear that he already had.
Yeah, his name has been entered into the NFL draft, okay. And he's got like 72 hours to withdraw it.
So the clock is a ticking now, and he has 72 hours to withdraw it. And I see that. Yeah, breaking news on ESPN's website.
His signing bonus originally with the A's was somewhere around $4.5 million.
4.8, I believe.
And he's wanting 15. So he's wanting an 11 mil or so bump. Mm-hmm. 10.5 mil bump. That's interesting. Do you think if you're the A's, is he that good of a baseball prospect that to be worth it?
I saw someone tweet, hey, great year for Kyler Murray, Heisman, this, that, and the other thing, football statistical-wise, and then said, 300 average and, 17 bombs and this and that. And I'm going, I mean, you're doing that with a metal bat in college?
Right.
Shouldn't you be hitting, 450 to 500 and having, 20 to 30 bombs? But to prove that you're, Bo Jackson or, a great player ready to go right into the major leagues from college? But I guess they see something in him.
So I'd be interested to see what his previous years were, too.
In baseball, you're talking about?
Yeah. Because here's the thing, and I'm going to assume that his baseball numbers weren't great his first year at Oklahoma.
Okay.
So if so this is his first year as a starter in football.
Mm-hmm.
Let's assume that his first real year of baseball that well enough to be drafted and thought of highly enough to be given $4.5 million. You're basing both the A's and whoever would draft him are basing all of this off of 1 year of production and potential. So now, to me, this becomes a game of chicken. Are you, if you're these competing franchises and competing sports, who blinks first and who's you know, who's going to really, well, we'll take you number one and we'll give you this money. And but now, is he really worth the number one pick? Do you really believe in your heart of hearts that Kyler Murray is a franchise quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, and here's a couple more things to throw on, logs to throw onto that fire. Because if you were dealing with the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Dodgers, that's a drop in the bucket. They're going to go, yeah, here you go. Just take all that money. The A's are notoriously cheap. Mm-hmm. So the fact that they're going there and trying to up the ante probably tells you he probably can play. But also, unlike Russell Wilson and some of the guys, you know, that have dabbled in both sports or came up playing, they played minor league baseball before they were done with their that's allowed. So they could play professionally in minor league baseball before they and still play college football before they made a decision. Whereas Kyler Murray's just played college baseball.
Right.
So you don't even know with wood bats against professional talent what he's going to do, but yet you're going to throw that much money and save a roster spot for him on the big league roster? That seems like it's quite
I would
a
take
leap
that baseball money in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. Less risk, less damage to your body, more guaranteed.
You're saying now or at 15?
Even now.
$4.5 million? I mean, you're going to come back and make more. You're going to get that in the NFL, though.
Yeah. They said if he was was in the middle of the first round,
down the road, who's going to get paid? You're probably going to get paid more in the MLB first if he proves himself. No. They're way more guaranteed. Now, the contract's there.
That's not how MLB contracts work.
In the NFL,
go look what Carlos Correa made last year. He made $500,000.
Right, but
they listed at one.
Going down the line, the long-term contracts for baseball are better than full NFL contracts.
But you got to prove yourself.
They're not necessarily better. They're guaranteed. And yeah, you'll get more money over 10 years than the wear and tear on your body and longevity and stuff like that. But your first 4 to 5 years in baseball, you're making the bare minimum.
Peanuts.
I mean, look what Bregman and Correa and these guys, these superstars on the Astros, were making $515,000 as their salary. Did they get great bonuses like Murray got at $4.5 million? Absolutely. So they're not like hurting for money. But until they go through all 3 years of arbitration, that's when they get paid. So you spend what? Is it four? Your initial contract is like 4 years.
Right.
And then you have 3 years of arbitration. So you're not getting the $20 million, $30 million money until like 7 years in.
Right.
And if the team,
suck between now and then, you ain't getting it at all.
Or if you play, if you're in an organization like the Astros were or like the A's are, where they're penny pinchers, they're intentionally going to hold you back and not call you up until the deadline for that year to count. So that's right. You get an extra year added. That's why Springer was so ticked off, because Springer could have been called up right out of spring training, and instead they held him back so that they kept an extra year of team control on him before they brought him up. So, and from an endorsement standpoint, think about it now. If you are Baker Mayfield and you come and you're playing baseball, you're going to be, your endorsement deals are just going to be just the average minimum, probably maybe a little bit more for like your shoe contract and whatever else you might get and a lot of local stuff. But in the NFL, when you start killing it, you're going to start rolling in, you know, big time shoe deals and you know, different sponsorships. He's doing like dress shoes and all these different endorsement deals where he's making a side killing. Look at Patrick Mahomes, mentions ketchup.
Right.
And boom, he's got a sponsorship.
What'll be interesting to find out, though, is does he use one to play the other and vice versa? Because, you know, in the NFL, they are moving towards fully guaranteed contracts, mm-hmm. but it's not the norm yet. But if I'm Kyler Murray and you draft me in the first 5 or 10 picks in the draft, and I can say at any point, I can go, nah, I'm going to go play baseball. I'm just not going to. Thanks for drafting me. But I don't want to be on the Arizona Cardinals, or I don't want to be a New York Giant. Or you know what? The money you didn't give me wasn't guaranteed, or I can't get. You can use all of that as leverage to try to obviously benefit yourself. But he's got a nice out, which a lot of players don't have. So that'll be interesting to see what happens from just pure salary perspective with him after the draft, too.
Yeah, for sure. Because you know what? The guy, you're right, because it's all about leverage. And a lot of guys have played this right. Remember, from Danny Ainge to Joe Mauer to Chris Winkie, there's been all these different guys. Even James Casey, who played baseball before he was a tight end for the Texans. And he cashed in on both. And as long as you can, it's a smart business move to play them one against the other, even with the shoe deal. If Nike or Adidas is fighting for me, and I go, well, what's it more important for me to play?
Right.
And then based on that, I'm going back to the two teams and saying, well, I mean, let's talk about what I'd be losing if I take the lesser of the two endorsement deals.
Think about this. Baker Mayfield's contract the first year, number one pick in the draft, $22 million in signing bonus. Total contract was $33 million. So $11 million that he would make over the life of his contract. So you think about $15 million is what Murray said he wanted. If he gets the four and goes through what we talked about where once he does get called up, if he's making the minimum at $500,000, it's going to take you a long time to get to $22 million if you don't get the 15 and just stay in baseball.
I'm just thinking the safe route. Like, I'm thinking, look, considering the position that he plays, the good thing for his position is that contracts favor quarterback contracts more in the NFL. But I think when you talk about safety and playing it safe and just getting paid, not the most money, baseball is your route because you're not putting your body through that. Now, with a quarterback position, I'm not necessarily sold that he's going to stay in the league for 2 years and not get injured, kind of like Deshaun Watson, because of his style of play. The game is completely faster at the NFL level, and he's going to have to consider that when he goes into the NFL. Because the risk of him getting injured, considering the way he plays, is way higher.
All you got to do is take all the comments on Johnny Manziel when he was running in college, and they said, now you're going to be running against grown-ass men that are the size of linemen in college but are running the speed of the secondary guys in college, and they're doing it in the NFL. Yeah, you could get your head ripped off if you try to be creative like that. And that's something they got to factor in as well.
But the advantage that he definitely has is he's a quarterback. He's going to get a quarterback type of contract. So in the event that it doesn't work, perhaps, yeah, he can make that way back to Major League Baseball and be paid. But I'm thinking injury. I'm thinking some of the crazy injuries. I'm thinking Alex Smith. I'm thinking all these people that are losing their careers and their money. The NFL is notorious for the way they structure their contracts, right? Really low at the beginning, really high at the end, release you when that big year comes.
No guarantees, yeah.
So, I mean, he definitely has an advantage because of the quarterback position that he plays.
But he's also at a disadvantage because of the quarterback position. Because think about it. Deion Sanders, Bo Jackson, guys could play both sports at the same time and collect the two different paychecks. Quarterback is such an elaborate and detailed position. They're saying there's no way he could play both and play them both effectively.
And for me, I'm so broke. $500,000 sounds fantastic. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking safe route. You know what I mean? If you can guarantee me $500,000 and then say, we'll give you 10, but it's not guaranteed, I might take the 500,000. I just might.
Yeah.
I really might. I mean, I'm a guy that plays safe. I don't gamble very much, you know?
So I'm looking at the highest contract. So Matt Ryan right now, $150 million contract for an NFL quarterback. And I was trying to, well, of course, the website's going to freeze up. So it is he's getting $6 million a year this year. He'll get $11.5 million in 2019, $20 million in 2020, $23 million in 2021. So, I mean, when you start getting into the 20 millions, that's upper end baseball money for sure. And if, you know, the ninth pick in the draft, the problem is, like you said, how long is it going to take you to get to the majors? How long is it going to take you to get through your minimums and then your arbitrations and everything else? If you can get as much money up front as the NFL is offering, like Baker Mayfield, it might make sense to get it early, especially if you could have some sort of out clause like, hey, if I don't want to do this, I'll give you back half. I'll give you half of it to go back to play or something. I don't know. It's going to be interesting because it's a whole different thing than what they're used to dealing with.
No pun intended, but you could play hardball and say, too, if you want me to go, at least consider going your way, or you got to give me the out. Give me everything. But if I do this for a couple of years and I'm not feeling it, you also got to realize and set me free without any financial drawbacks for me.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'm taking a risk.
Yeah.
So, all right, there you go. We got a half hour to go in the big show, so still plenty of time on the clock if you want to get in on the conversation. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. Sports Map 94.1, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1. Always appreciate you taking us along for the ride on a Monday. Nick, Barry, Joel with you here from the Gal Media Studios. You found a little interesting tidbit in the break that I think people need for perspective.
Yeah, I was looking for stats for Kyler Murray in college, but I came across this little nugget of info. Should Murray pursue his career in football? It was reported last week that the Athletics will not receive a compensatory pick in the June draft. Murray would have to return the $4.6 million bonus. Of course, he would probably make double that at least. Because you remember, like, Rosen got a fully guaranteed contract, so he's going to get more money up front. I mean, to Nick's point, it's long-term. Baseball's always the safer option, and you'll end up making more money. But, you know, in the next 5 years, he would make substantially more than he would playing baseball.
The other one I thought you were going to mention, but the Bregman salary for this year is just... It's ridiculous. People think, and we were talking in the break, MLB just did their rankings position by position. He's the number one ranked third baseman in all of baseball, and his salary for this year, Nicholas, is...
$599,000 is what's on the books for 2018 for Alex Bregman. Crazy.
There's your guaranteed $500,000, Nick.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Well, but I'd like to see you so, fill your position and hit a couple of bombs.
So his signing bonus was $5.9 million that he got in 2015. So then salary wise, 2016 he made $507,000. 2017, $539,000, and 2018, $599,000. And then, of course, he'll make that again next year. I'm guessing the Astros get with him and negotiate and do kind of what they did with Correa and Altuve. And, well, hey, look, when arbitration comes up, well, you know, we're going to get through all that, and then we're going to take care of you. But here's a little bump. You can do that.
Well, the other thing was Springer was so ticked off in the way he was treated leading up to when he was almost to arbitration that Luno did the right thing and gave him a monster number for a two-year deal. Just right. So that he might be, because otherwise they said the minute his contract's up with the Astros, gone. Not even going to think about it. Don't even approach him because he's going Yankees, Red Sox, whatever, and he's going to make up for the cash he lost. Smart move by Luno to give him more in the final 2 years just to try and get him to change that philosophy.
No doubt. And you got to know that Murray would get higher than what Baker Mayfield got. Because inflation, and then they look at teams look at that and say.
Well, one guy can't outrun a cop. And the other guy can run all over.
But if you're the Giants, are you thinking, well, okay, let me see here. One QB, undersized, decent to good arm, can run, confident, Oklahoma quarterback, won a Heisman Trophy, $22 million, turned the Browns around, damn near made the playoffs. In the right situation, is Kyler Murray basically the same thing as Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield? Do we take that chance? And, you know, if Baker Mayfield got 22, and there's, you know, I mean, he could get that or more in his first year or being drafted. So it'll be interesting to see, because I feel like a lot of teams would look at Baker Mayfield and think, yeah, Kyler Murray, that's pretty much Baker Mayfield 2.0 in just about every single way.
Remember when Drew Brees was the exception to the rule?
Yes.
Then Russell Wilson kind of rewrote the rule a little bit. But now, like you said, based on Baker Mayfield following that up, and you don't have to have a 6'3 frame anymore to be a quarterback in the NFL, it's opened the door for Kyler Murray to look more impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got an arm. I mean, that dude has a strong arm.
Well, and he's got two legs.
Yeah.
Because he hits the hole hard and fast and goes. That sounded a little.
Wow. Sound like you described my date night.
Jeez, you still have those? Lucky you.
How much is there between the Bryce and Astros rumors, or should we not even pay attention? Don't pay attention. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, put those out of your mind, Astros fans.
Manny Machado looks like he's going to the White Sox. If he doesn't, he's stupid. Supposedly now,
over there.
The White Sox, not only that, but the White Sox have extended it to an 8-year deal. If you can get sick money for 8 years, Nick, forget the $500,000. Yeah. You're in Chicago. You're not stuck in a market you don't want to be in.
He's doing that.
You got to take
that. Do you guys have any plans on going to San Antonio for the football games at the Alamo Dome? Let's get a suspects bus trip going.
Probably not.
I'm guessing no.
It's going to be a negative.
I do the Sunfest bus trip once a year was good enough.
Fun. You barely made it through that. Shoot.
We both barely made it through that.
Well, I was on my own 2 feet. You were on your face.
Not the whole trip.
After trying to take someone off of their 2 feet and give them a shoulder.
Not the whole trip. Just some of it.
My complete answer to that is absolutely not.
No? Yeah, you're not doing anything with anybody.
That's not true. And I even stayed late at the freaking Knicks place Christmas party. But driving to San Antonio to see bad football? No.
Somebody says, love the show. Thank you guys for kicking ass. Well, thank you for listening. Yeah, we appreciate you and for the kind words. From St. Louis guy, no way anyone in St. Louis is rooting for the Rams and KC. People are pulling for KC or Indy these days. Whatever gets them by until Major League Baseball. Then someone else kind of echoed that. So,
I mean, first of all, St. Louis, and I've been there. I saw the Astros play in St. Louis. You want to talk about just a rabid baseball fan for the Cardinals, baseball fans? They are nothing but red, decked out at every game. They are passionate. They arrive early. They stay late. That is a baseball city.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, without question.
No doubt.
So we covered most of the baseball talks, and then the Rangers still in contact with the relievers like Adam Ottavino and Cody Allen, but their more likely route is to spread money around less expensive relievers and look for a quality infielder that they decide to sign, but the Rangers are going to suck.
Yeah, I'm feeling that way.
They may be able to surpass the Mariners after the fire sale, but the main competition for the Astros is going to be the A's.
Well, I'll be honest, I don't even know that the A's...
Well, now they got Kyler Murray.
Well,
or maybe
he'll spend a couple of years getting seasoning in the minors. And
yeah, that's the other thing when people don't realize how rare a talent like Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson were.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they came right in and went essentially for the most almost directly to the major leagues. I believe in the case of Deion Sanders, he did. Bo was with the Memphis Chicks for a brief time, but. When you can come right into Major League Baseball,
right,
and contribute and excel, you're a crazy athlete. Yep. That's unreal.
Oh, you ready for Kyler Murray's baseball statistics? Yep. I found it. I hear the music. Don't worry, Nick. I'm not going to go too far. Last year, 2018,
right,
hit .296, 51 games, 10 home runs,
see,
47 RBIs, slugged .556. Struck out 56 times, stole 10 bases.
Used a metal bat.
Not bad.
Didn't hit .300.
2017.
That's the stats that I saw.
2017.
Seen, sorry.
27 games.
Yes.
Hit .122.
Ugh.
No home runs. Slugged .122. Stole 12 bases. It's 1 year. All of this, all of everything we just spent talking about Kyler Murray is all based off of 1 year of baseball and 1 year of football, and it's this is all about what could he do. It has to be potential.
Here's the thing.
I know he won a Heisman, but if, 1 year.
If we do the spectrum, then right, mm-hmm. He could be Billy Hamilton. He could be great wheels,
absolutely,
but no big bat, no power, no nothing. Or on the top side is he McCutcheon? If he could pan out to be pop and average, great outfielder.
Yeah.
Is that a fair spectrum?
On the flip side, is he Baker Mayfield or is he Johnny Manziel?
Great point there. Yeah, that's exactly right. So those are the four comparisons.
Rolling the dice.
And how much you willing to spend when you're gambling in Vegas, as it also alludes to how much you're willing to spend to gamble in a situation like this.
Yeah.
All right, we got one segment to go on the show. Then we're going to turn over to the Blitz. They're going to take you home till 7. You don't have to do a thing, Fred, AJ, Jong. They're going to entertain you all the way through. So stay tuned. We have one more to go. Then we'll turn it over to them right here on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, final segment, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday. Very good show. Everybody participating, which we like. We're talking football and Kyler Murray and contracts and all that stuff. More NFL news of the day. Devin White, the outstanding linebacker for LSU, has declared he is coming out and he is going to enter the NFL draft. We had mentioned the problems between Gary Kubiak and the Broncos. Seems like he is hell-bent on becoming an offensive coordinator again. He met with the Vikings today. He will meet with the Jags tomorrow. And everybody's saying with Joe Flacco on the market and what he did for Joe when they were in Baltimore together, could be a package deal. Cubs and Flacco to the Jags. Now you got to, if you're a Texans fan, you at least have to
really
write that down as a possible problem in the division.
I want to say coming in, I heard them talking about the Jets, but maybe it was Jags. Maybe I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I think the Jets, they're hiring Greg Williams on the defensive side. I did see your video, by the way, that you were talking about with Nagy. He's nuts, whatever he's doing with his eyes. I never noticed that he did that. But he's the offensive mind, so I don't think the OC there. I'm sorry, yeah, Gaze, right. Yeah. So where'd I get Nagy from?
Oh, the Bears?
Yeah, the other news of the day, that's where I got it from. Matt Nagy, the coach of the Bears, not too pleased that kicker Cody Parkey decided to go on the Today Show to talk about his experience missing kicks, said it was a selfish kind of a me thing instead of a we thing, and he's not happy about it, so that they're going to be looking, even though he's got a guaranteed money as the second highest paid kicker in the league, that they may look to do something different.
Really?
I would think you had to trade him, right? You can't just cut and walk dead money on $3.4 million for a kicker.
Not for a kicker.
Yeah, so that's interesting. Golden Tate, after the game with the Eagles, said, if I don't stay here, I want to go to a team that has a chance. My years are limited. I got to go to someone.
Welcome to the Texans.
I think he'd be perfect here.
He would.
I mean, everybody was talking about DeSean Jackson, who wants out and might be a good fit. But between the two, Golden Tate is not afraid to go across the middle, show you toughness, make a big catch. And then the final thing, Cowboy fans, of course, jumped right off the bandwagon again after the loss to the Rams. Therefore, they want Jason Garrett's head on a platter if possible, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And he went out on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas and said offensive coordinator Scott Linehan is going to return for next season, which did not make too many Cowboy fans happy.
No, it probably didn't. And, you know, you got to keep those yes men around if you're Jerry Jones. Definitely have to keep the yes men around.
Linehan got killed when they, I guess, Cowboys fans wanted Dak Prescott to run the ball more, and they didn't do it until the end. And I guess that's what, like, that a burst of tweets. When he got that first down, when Dak Prescott got that first down, I was like, oh, now you're calling a run play for Dak? I don't know if you want to run Dak that many times. I don't know if you want to do that if you're the Cowboys. But
and here's the other that's interesting what they wanted. Thing. So that was the offensive side of the ball too, right? But then Rod Marinelli is the defensive coordinator in title. But Chris Richard, who's been up for many NFL coaching positions, is actually calling the defensive plays. But Marinelli lost his bleep after the game when they said, are you going to be back if Richard's calling the plays? And he went nuts. But isn't that a logical question?
I think so.
Older guy, and you got the DC title, but your secondary and linebackers coach is calling the plays? Isn't that the writing on the wall?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah.
Also, am I the only one that worries that I might say Golden Taint by accident?
I don't think there's any worry about it. It's almost a guarantee.
I mean,
since you just did.
I mean, sometimes when I say Golden Tate, I worry that it would be something else.
Did you say Taint?
I did.
Oh, okay.
No, I did. I mean, I don't.
But you did.
Often, I worry that that would accidentally come out.
Like it just did.
Right.
Yeah, just like Nick and Squeak.
Yes. Which my favorite part was after he said Queef on the radio. At the break, he goes, can you say that on the radio?
Yeah. After the fact, it's always the best time to have remorse on that one.
So are you coming for my job? Because that's what I do. No, say words you're not supposed to say and then ask.
I knew you could say it on the radio. Later. I was just being dumb.
Sure.
I absolutely knew.
Hey, work.
Because we're always so steadfast, sure, in what we can say and can't say.
Work sent me to Round Rock last minute at 1:30 in hopes that I would make it there before 5. Been listening to you guys on the app. I appreciate you guys making the drive a little better. And, of course, we appreciate you listening.
Yeah, thanks for taking us on that ride.
Absolutely.
But, of course, there's not any much to entertain you on that drive, so at least we're there for you.
That's right.
It's always a good thing. All right, let's get Q-Dini. Q-Dini is in here and wants to talk about what we were talking about last segment, Kyler Murray. What's up, man?
Hey, what up, H-Town? You got two in the rear and you're getting one in the front. Great job, guys. Hey, there's no way that I would give that Kyler Murray $15 million. I'm really shocked to begin with that he even got drafted at 9, to be honest with you. But I don't know, and this is a question for you guys. I'm not sure if the A's happen not to pay him the $15 million, will they get a compensatory pick or something to make up for that? No. I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Cudini. No, they don't. If he decides to go to the NFL, they get the $4.5 million back, but they do not get a compensatory pick.
I believe they retain his rights.
That would make sense.
And I don't know for how long.
I think it's just a year.
And then he's eligible to re-enter the draft?
That might be the case. We would have to Google that. We would have to do some research
on that one, because if you don't sign, then after a year you re-enter the draft. But if you do sign, and he signed because he's accepted the bonus from the A's.
That's a good point. That's right.
Therefore, because, I believe his rights are retained by the A's.
If you can't work out a deal, then you can go back into the draft. You are correct.
Mark Appel.
And another Astro that they passed on. Yeah, I forget his damn name. Yeah,
Appel was the one, too, that ended up being redrafted after he was angry.
Was it Appel?
Yeah.
I feel like it was somebody else.
No, remember, because then they got him the second time around and passed on Chris Bryant because they had to have him, and that just...
Yeah, there was another guy. I don't know why I keep thinking Brady James. That's not it at all, but there was a name. There was a guy that they got that they couldn't come to terms with. He ended up being a bust, but he went back in the draft the next year. It happened a couple of times for the Astros.
I think I know who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
But oh well.
I mentioned Cody Parkey, but did you also see that a radio station in Chicago restaged the 42-yard field goal and put down some turf with some snow and said, if you guys want to bust on him so much, you make one. I believe there were 40-some-odd people that tried it. Not a single one completed it. Most people shanked it and ended up on their backside.
Notice that.
One guy shanked it so bad, he hit a guy standing off on the side in the groin. They went, that was the reenactment of the doink.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did it bounce off the one pole and hit another pole?
I know it hit one for sure. 0 out of 100.
Damn.
Yeah.
You think you can make a 43-yarder?
Nope.
No?
Now, I'll tell you this. In college, there was one class we took where the football coaches actually tried to teach you how to actually kick a football, and I didn't realize the certain technique. Once I learned that, I could actually get it airborne and get it going a little bit.
Right.
But still, people...
Okay, 30 yards?
I think maybe.
You think you're going to make a 30?
I'm not going to make it consistently like an extra point.
I'm always amazed at the fact that they can kick at 55, 62 in the rare cases. But like guys like Janikowski and Tucker and these guys with these amazing – because there's – I mean, it's obviously a lot of their technique. But
in the case of Seabass, it's not just his leg strength. When he puts that ass behind it –
puts his gut into it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason he pulled a hammy, because he's pulling a freaking semi-truck behind him.
It's amazing, though. I mean, they get made fun of a lot. Kickers do for their athletic prowess. But, you know, you look at that and, okay, all of these other cats on this football team that make fun of the kicker and poo-poo on his athletic ability, you kick a 50-yarder. You kick a 45-yarder. See if you can do it.
Rex Ryan's that guy that says, you know how I feel about kickers. Just cut them. They're a dime a dozen. Well, really? Take a look at the Browns situation this year. If they had a decent kicker. The Chargers over the last couple of years, if they had a kicker. Yeah. You may want to poo-poo all over it and think that they spend no time doing anything but golfing and kicking field goals. But you need them accurate.
Guess who most football teams' leading scorer is?
Yeah.
The kicker.
Vinatieri is the leading scorer in NFL history.
Yeah.
Wasn't it? And what was the Buccaneers wasted a second round pick on that? Was it Aguiar or whoever it was a couple years ago?
Yes.
And he was so bad they had to cut him. The Bears picked him up and they cut him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't crap on the kicker that quickly.
Kickers are amazing athletes. Well,
what was the Texans punter that
they
just got?
They're a better athlete than me. I'll say that. I don't even think I can make a 20-yard
field goal. Who was the Texans punter for the last couple of years that came over from the Raiders they think might be in the Hall of Fame? But he was a quarterback in high school. He went to A&M.
Yeah.
He was athletic.
Ray guy? No, I'm just kidding.
No. Shane Leckler. Yeah. There you go, Nick. Yeah, Shane Leckler.
Reggie Roby. No.
Reggie Roby was a hell of a punter.
He could get after it now.
Dude, I don't know about that flexibility, but he could get his toes way over the top of his head when he punted. So, yeah, it's an art form, but it's also a skill, just like doing radio. So,
I would agree with
there's that. A Monday on the Usual Suspects. We'll put the wraps on this one. Fred, AJ, Jung, The Blitz, they're in studio, and they will be coming up next. And again, sign up is this week for the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. So sign up. You can text us, or better yet, as Barry said, go on the website, sign up on the website, and then get to one of the three Man Center locations or right here at the front desk at Gal Media. Weigh in, or you're not official until you weigh in. So we're looking forward to it. You should, too. All right, you guys have a great night. We will talk to you again tomorrow on The Usual Suspects.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
ESPN 97.5.